come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
Woo! It's that time of week again, and here we are. And our engineer just got surprised. So. Hi, Tommy. We love him. Oh, this is Go Yard. I'm Mama Mac, along with my wonderful co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni. And every single week, we are right here.
Yes, we are.
Doing Go Yard. What does Go Yard mean anyway?
Oh, Go Yard is a baseball term for hitting those home runs in life.
Yes. And by the way, the Rays will be starting soon. We got to get to some games. We usually do,
yes,
you know.
Yes, we do.
Yes. So, we have been so excited about just how the audience is responding to our shows. And this series is going to be number 5 tonight on boundaries. And it's going to be the last one in this series. And we're going to something new next week. Why do we talk about boundaries? And what does that mean, Dr. Angel?
Well, we spent 5 weeks on it because it's so vital. Like, boundaries is a foundational concept.
Okay.
And it trickles into everything we do in our life. And it really impacts our contentment, our happiness, our success, our struggles, like our ability to have boundaries will impact us in so many other areas. So if we can grab this, it'll help us.
It's going to make our life better.
So much better.
And something we pointed out a couple weeks ago and then again last week and one more time again tonight. Boundaries is not about setting boundaries on other people.
No.
Why not? Why is that wrong and why do some people think that's what it is?
Well, a lot of people do misconstrue that. We cannot control anybody else's behavior. So we can't set a boundary on how someone else can behave. I can only set boundaries on myself.
Okay.
In my own life.
All right, so boundary setting is about us, not about trying to control other people and cause them to react the way you want them to react or do what you want them to do. It's not about that.
Absolutely.
So now that we know what it's not and what it is, you are a blessing. And Dr. Angel, for some of you who may not know, is a licensed mental health counselor and also a PhD. And you hold 2 bachelor's degrees, 2 master's degrees, and you are now opening your own practice.
Yes, I am.
And that is crazy good.
I am so excited.
And tell the folk the phone number if they want to set up counseling with you.
Sure, you want to set up counseling. I'm serving children, teens, adults, couples, and families, and you can reach me.
We'll go through that one more time. That sounds like everybody but our animals. Is it? It's not seniors.
Well, adults.
Adults.
Adults. Oh, wow. That's a respectful term.
So it's everybody except animals.
There you go.
And the insect world. Go ahead.
There you go. So
you do not counsel flies.
No. But definitely work with children.
Okay.
Our teens.
All right.
Adults, couples, and families.
There you go.
And you can reach me at area code 727-501-6557.
That is your phone number. So that's good. I'm glad. All right.
Am I supposed to give a different one?
No, that's the right one. And you know what? We want everybody to know that you haven't taken this step lightly. This is a huge step, and you've worked for companies for years, and you have worked in foster care, and you've done a lot of counseling. You have supervised a lot of counselors. You've got a wealth of experience, but you really feel like your best days are ahead in private practice, right?
Absolutely. You know, we don't just come in the studio and give people ideas and talk about things because it's this theory. We live this practicality. And this is like a great example of going out and living our purpose. This is what I feel my purpose in life is, to do this business. And
Well, you're all about
all in.
Two words, purpose and passion.
Yes,
you got to have passion with what you do, and you got to find your purpose in life.
Absolutely.
Right?
And this is exactly what I believe that is, my purpose, and I have a lot of passion for it.
Yeah, and you certainly do, and we're very, very excited. So you have a new facility opening up in May, and we'll talk about that as we get closer to it. So 727-501-6557, call for an appointment if that's something you want to do or you know somebody who needs it. So tonight we're talking about laws that
yes.
apply to boundaries. What are these? What does this mean? There's 10 of them. Is that correct?
Yes, there's 10 laws.
Okay, 10 laws.
And
so you might want to grab a pen and write some of them down.
Because these laws are how boundaries work for us. And when we have good boundaries, we're going to respect these laws.
Okay.
And a lot of times where we're getting frustrated is we're not respecting these laws or understanding these laws. And so
right.
we come into conflict or feel like we're hitting those walls.
And this is kind of another way to assess your boundary behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Last week, we actually did a little test. And so if you missed that show, go to tantalknetwork.com, go to the podcast, open up that Internet Pros thing, and you'll see all the different shows here on Tantalk, and go to Go Yard and open up that, and the podcast will be there. So they can take that test if they want to from last week.
Absolutely. And it's a great place to test their boundaries. But this is really, this is like the meat of boundaries where we're getting into tonight. We're finishing it up with finishing it strong.
So, well, let's talk about law number one, this meat of boundaries.
Law number one is the law of sowing and reaping. This is a big one because so much what we put our time, what we put our energy, our finances, our effort in was what we're going to reap. And a lot of times we are, you know, in the world, you know, sowing corn seeds and thinking we're going to come out and have a garden of pumpkins. It's not, you know, we know that in the physical, what you plant, you get, right? When we plant
right.
something.
But we don't know that in the emotional
we
and
do
mental.
Not.
Because some people, I've known a lot of people through the years in ministry that plant discord and expect they're going to get everything to come up roses, right?
Absolutely.
You plant discord, you're going to get discord.
Yes, you do. You get what we reap, what we plant. If we're going to reap sitting on our couch and watching our Netflix movies all day, we're not going to have that success for whatever it is we're looking for.
Sure.
Our relationships are going to have problems. What goes into this? A lot of times people intervene in the natural sowing and reaping process.
Mm.
And they save people from the consequences of what...
You mean they bail people out of jail
they
that need
do.
To sit there and learn a lesson?
They absolutely
yes,
do.
Yes, they do. Or they let their 39-year-old kid still live at home and pay all his bills.
Oh, yes. I've seen this in so many arenas. Or a really popular one is somebody who has adult children who have their children, so now they have grandchildren, and so they keep rescuing their kids because they're afraid they'll take their grandkids from them. So
exactly.
But they're stopping and intervening.
Or they start raising their grandkids.
Or they're raising them. Absolutely.
Yes.
This is a big one I see happen in the counseling room so often. This number one is a number one because...
Okay.
This, I don't understand that if I put my time, energy, effort, and finances here, why I'm not getting something completely different. We get what we invest in.
Right.
But we cannot stop the consequence flow for someone else and think that that's okay because...
But people do it, Dr. Angel,
oh, yes,
and they're
they do.
Well-meaning when they do it. I know. I mean, parents are constantly rescuing drug-addicted kids. That's we've done a lot of talking, you know, a lot of shows on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And this just goes across the whole gamut of parenting that people so often try to rescue instead of...
They sure do. And so
of, yeah.
we have to learn that what we sow is what we reap, and what other people sow is what they reap, and we cannot enable irresponsible behavior. From ourselves or someone else.
And a lot of times you hear it said, what goes around comes around. But it's
yes.
the same concept.
It is the same concept. And so think about, what are you spending your time, energy, efforts, money? Like, what are you spending it on? And is that trying to get you where you want to be or where you're trying to go in life?
Right.
You know, a lot of times people are really good at coming up with the plan.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Here's my new plan. You know, some people have a new plan every week, right?
Right.
But there's no follow through to that plan.
Follow
and then
through.
They're all depressed because why didn't this happen?
You got to follow through. You got to do the work.
Got to do the work. You got to sow into it.
You know, it's a spiritual principle also,
mm-hmm.
sowing and reaping. Biblically, what you sow, you reap. You know, as sowing love, sowing kindness, sowing generosity, all those things, you're reaping that in your own life. So this is a very important law. Anything else you want to say on that before we get to the second one?
No, I think we really covered it, but we need to, you know, what are we sowing, especially into our thoughts, what we take in.
Yes.
Because it becomes how we think, how we feel, how we behave. So this is really important law for us.
I just said in my sermon on Sunday about being careful watching those old bloody, gory, murder-type shows, because that gets into you and you're thinking those things. Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous stuff, really,
sure is.
For all of us. Okay,
sure.
Go ahead.
Law number two is the law of responsibility. This law includes us taking responsibility for our lives and loving others. We want to love one another, not be one another.
Ah.
So that's the important distinction.
When we try to be other people, it's because we're trying to make them into who we think they should be, right?
Right. We think we know better for their life. And so we're putting so much of our time, energy, and effort into this person.
Right.
And we're not even taking care of our own stuff half the time. That's not important because we're over here in someone else's world.
Okay, it goes back to the thing I said at the beginning of the show that we've been talking about the last 2 weeks. Boundaries is not about changing other people.
Not at all.
Boundaries is about us understanding what to do to help or not to help. Law of responsibility.
Absolutely.
Who are you responsible for?
And in the counseling room, I see this one all the time, because when bad things happen or negative consequences happen, they're blaming everyone and everything else except for themselves.
Can you give us an example of that?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, so the person who goes and hangs out, you know, at the nightclubs or goes out with their friends all the time, and then they get evicted because they didn't pay their rent. Well, I can't believe they would do that to me. Well, you waste hundreds of dollars every week having fun, but you didn't pay your rent.
Right.
So, but they don't get their responsibility. Right. They want to blame the landlord or blame whatever.
Yeah.
We have to learn that we have a responsibility.
That's exactly right. Law of responsibility. So when we put those kinds of restrictions on our own lives, that becomes a boundary we set on ourselves. When I get paid, I have to pay this bill, this bill, this bill, right? So
Absolutely. That's
we're setting that boundary on us.
But we're also responsible for our emotional, social, and mental health. Meaning,
okay,
if I need love, I need to be responsible to ask for that.
Right.
In a
sure.
healthy way. Not expect it just someone should figure it out. You know,
right.
I see so many people, they air out their dirty laundry on Facebook, and you see all the dirty laundry like, oh, nobody loves me, or,
right.
oh, well, if they don't call, then they're not. What about you taking responsibility
exactly.
for getting the relationships that you need, the love that you need, those types of things? We need to take that responsibility
as well.
That's
really good. The law of responsibility. So that's a big part of boundaries, don't you think? Learning what I'm responsible for and what somebody else is responsible for.
Yes. And, you know, this can get really blurred, especially in some families that are very interdependent.
Right.
And, you know, they believe it's maybe the adult child's responsibility to provide finances for a sibling who isn't being responsible. And so when I can have healthy boundaries for myself.
Right. It's a good example.
I can help teach those people around me what some healthy boundaries look like.
Exactly. All right. Number three, the law of power. What is the law of power, and how does this relate to boundaries?
This is a big one, because the law of power is what we do and do not have power over. We have to really get that concept, because
okay.
we are spending so much time trying to have power over something we have no power over, like other people.
Right.
That's a big one. I mean,
don't you think that's huge, really, in people everywhere, probably, but our society. Let's talk about our society in the United States of America. A lot of times you see people really trying to take over somebody else's thoughts, their priorities, everything. You
I
know?
Mean, and this happens.
Pressure.
They do. And this happens, I mean, on all kinds of levels. I mean, I was having a conversation with another mental health counselor. How can I make my client do? I'm like, stop. You can't make anyone do.
That's great.
You know, but that's, you know, even a trained therapist still thinking, how can I make somebody do this? We can't make people do things, and we don't have that right. So what I have power over, I've said it so many times, but we'll say it again. I have power over my thoughts, my feelings, my behaviors, my attitudes, and my successes.
There you go.
That's what I have my power over.
I didn't hear you mention your mom or your uncle or your child there at all.
I have the power to admit what my problems are.
Right.
I have the power to Ask when I need help.
Okay.
I have the power to turn from negative choices or things that aren't getting me where I want to go.
Right.
I have the power to work through the injuries that I might have from my past.
Right.
I have the power to seek out others that I might have hurt in my life and ask for forgiveness or make amends. But that's my power.
Right. Why is it so many people get hung up right here on the law of power?
The law of power is a big one because they do. They get stuck. So
why?
You know, we want to have, I think there's this human desire that we think we have this all power in our worlds. We kind of think that, you know, so if something bad happened to us, we think that we can, everything bad that happens in our life as a result of that or what we think is a result, we can blame over here. So we didn't take responsibility.
Right.
And we just let it continue to hurt our life going forward. Right. Because we don't want that power. That was bad.
Yeah.
But we have the power to get that healthy.
Right.
Right. And we don't want to take that power. We don't want to take that responsibility.
Dr. Angel, it takes work to get healthy, even in our own diets and what we eat, right? It takes work
and
to exercise,
yes.
Diet, etc. Discipline. But it takes work emotionally, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It's too easy to just blame somebody else, my mother, my dad, whatever, my childhood, my career, my boss.
My ex-husband. Whatever.
Right. It's too easy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then that is giving away your power to change your own life, right?
That's exactly what we're doing. We are just giving away the power that we do have, and we're allowing this miserable state that we're in to be who we are.
Oh, I'm this way because of him, and he did this, and he did that. And we can cry poor, and we can cry blaming other people, but until we get to a point where we take back our own power, we are powerless. And
absolutely. I mean, and even when life might be really, really overwhelming, we still have the power of, what am I feeding? What kinds of thoughts am I feeding? What am I entertaining? We talked
That's
about
right.
that, but am I feeding things that are going to encourage me or uplift me or
That's
help
right.
me grow or motivate me? Because that's where it starts. It starts what
exactly.
we're thinking on.
And you know what? I'm not against TV. I'm not against video games, things like that. I have grandkids that love video games. But my grandkids have an allotted time for their video games, and their parents monitor that very carefully, right?
Mm-hmm.
And TV shows, I mean, certain things, they're not allowed to watch. You're the same with your sons.
Oh, absolutely. But I'm the same with me, too. It was like the other day, I was kind of having a hard day, and I was feeling very discouraged, and I sat down on the couch. I had a bad headache. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and watch something inspirational, and I went and found a show of somebody who overcame an obstacle, because to me, that just encouraged me and helped me get
there
through that moment. But I could have chose to sit there and find someone who, you know, lots of bad stuff I could have found or things that aren't encouraging.
That's right.
And so we got to be careful what we feed and how much we're talking about the negative in our life.
Oh my gosh. I think that's huge.
We give it power when we're talking about it.
We give it power when we talk about it over and over and over again.
People the broken that, record.
The people that say, I got this illness, I got that illness, I got this. And the more we talk about it, the worse it gets, don't you think?
Yeah, because we're feeding all that negative into that issue. And so we need to watch what our words are really important. I'm not saying we shouldn't talk about things. We do need to talk about things, but not like a broken record over and over and over. And what are we doing about it?
Words give life, words bring death.
They sure do, and they do for our own self. Our thoughts give us life, and our thoughts give us death.
Absolutely.
We can talk ourselves right out of going for what we think our purpose is. I mean, I could have sat there and said, oh my gosh, to go out on this limb for this practice, there's no way. I need to have that guaranteed salary, and I need to do this, and I have a family to support, and I could have talked myself right out of that. Instead, no, I know this is where I need to be. And is it easy? Oh, no. And there are days I feel discouraged, and then I need to find something to uplift me and keep moving forward.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay, we got that, the law of power. Law number four is the law of respect. And what is that, doctor?
Well, we talk about this one. This is, we need to treat others' boundaries the way we want ours to be treated. You know, we need to respect other people's boundaries and limits. So when they say no to us, we shouldn't be trying to talk them into it or con them and convince them to do it or making them feel guilty or getting angry with them.
Oh my gosh, that's a huge one.
Yes.
because, and we've talked about, we just did a series, a month before last on feeling obligated,
yes.
Right? And so often we can make people feel so obligated and they really don't want to do whatever X is. And they tell you, oh, I'm not sure. I mean, but the law of respect is saying, okay, you do what you need to do, I'll do what I need to do, that type of thing.
And I'm going to respect that.
Right.
You know, we want to be able to say no, and everybody else respects it, but we don't want to hear no from anyone else.
Mm.
You have to be able to take no.
Wow. That's profound.
As part of healthy boundaries. Which,
right.
And we need to watch when we're doing that, because sometimes you don't even realize we do it so much we don't realize we're doing it. You know, we throw the little guilt something in there or whatever to try and get that help or whatever we're looking for. And so we have to stop ourselves and, okay, no is no.
So we have to give freedom.
Yes.
But when we give freedom, we get it, right?
Yes, freedom gives freedom.
Okay.
So we cannot have the way we want it is that everyone hears our no, but nobody gives us a no. That's what people want in this world. But
yeah.
That's not how this works. Freedom gives freedom. So I'm going to give you the freedom to say no, and then in return, I want the freedom to say no. And
that's
I'm going to take my freedom to
that's
say
really
no.
Good.
And so if you're that person that you hear no and you are angry or frustrated or do whatever you can to change their mind, stop doing that. It's so unhealthy. It really is toxic in your relationships.
Yeah, I've known people, we all have in our lives, that when they get their mind set on something, they expect you to fall in line with their opinion or their function or whatever it is that's going on, right?
Absolutely. You know, this comes like one of my personal boundaries is someone's lack of planning is not my emergency. And when I worked in
Dr. Angel, that's got bell ringer. You want to say that again?
Someone's lack of planning is not my emergency. And so when I worked in a big agency and had lots of staff and they waited till the last minute to put something together, now they needed extra help. I had other things to do. I'm sorry, but you're going to get a no on that because your lack of planning was not my emergency. You're going to have to figure this out. If you want to sit and plan something, I'm more than happy to help you, but I'm not going to throw my day in a crisis because you didn't plan and you didn't anticipate. And so that was my boundary, and boy, did it frustrate people. But let me tell you.
But that's the law of respect.
That's the law of respect.
So you say, okay, here's what you were supposed to be doing. You didn't do it. Now you want me to come in and bail you out.
Absolutely. Same thing with my kids. When they needed like school supplies or something for a special project, you had to give me a 24-hour notice with a list of what you needed, and I will give it for you in 24 hours. You're not coming home at 8 o'clock at night and saying, I need this by tomorrow morning. That was a law
of
respect.
How many parents out there in Radio Land can really, they can, you know, they understand that concept,
absolutely.
Right? They can relate to it.
Same
because
thing
kids
with,
do that.
They do. Same thing with like signing school documents, you know, as they're walking out the door, I need you to sign. No. You want me to sign something, you give it to me before you go to bed the night before.
Right.
That way I can read it and look at it in my time.
Dr.
And get it back
Angel,
to you.
You're such a you know, difficult mother there, it sounds to me like. I mean, you've had rules and boundaries for a long time with your sons. I'm teasing you.
You're
not a difficult mother. I admire it. It's
but
good.
That's what the law of respect looks like.
Okay.
You know, and when we have that, people, they know. My kids knew that, no, mom was not going to sign that because she did not get it the night before. They learned. They had to, we went back to sewing and reaping. They might have had a zero on an assignment. But they paid the consequence. And guess what? The next time, they planned a little bit.
They learned that. Mm-hmm. They planned a little better.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. We've got more laws to talk about. Don't go anywhere. Call a friend. Have them call in. Or if you have a question on any of this, call in to 727-441-3000. Or if you'd just like to give a comment, that is fine. Call us. And Tommy, let's go to break, and we'll come right back. And any callers, call in. 727-441-3000.
Turn a phrase into a weapon. Somebody's lack of love, or you can start speaking up. Nothing's gonna hurt you the way the words do when they settle near your skin, kept on the inside and no sunlight. Sometimes a shadow wins. But I wonder what would happen if you say what you want. I'm not afraid to.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, WTAN.
Love that. Say what you want to say. How about that, Dr. Angel? We need to learn to do that. That's what we're talking about here. Tonight, we are finishing up our series on boundaries. This is part five. And if you've missed any of these, go to tantalknetwork.com. Go to podcast, that tab. Open it up. Hit that Internet Pros link. And all the shows for this network will show up. And our Sunday show is called Living the Good Life, if you want to check that out. And tonight's show is always called Go Yard. And you open them up and you'll see all these podcasts. It's pretty cool that we have podcasts right here. But we also have our website, so tell them about that, goyard2014.org.
You got it.
I got it right.
You did. And on our website, we have almost 5 years of shows that are titled. So you can kind of go find that show for whatever it is you're facing today in life and get some great tools and support to help you get through.
There's things on parenting, divorce, domestic violence, worry, fear, you name it, we've got it.
Setting goals.
Anxiety.
Like all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So much. So go and check those out on our website and on podcast here. So this has been a great series. I really enjoyed doing this and reminding ourselves of boundary setting because it's something that we all need to work at.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something you just get down once and then that's the end of it, right?
Oh, no. And they're it's a progress. You know, we're continually working at that because as our life changes, we might need to flex our boundaries for different things. Or, you know, because boundaries are really based in our value system.
Okay.
And as we grow as
people. Explain that.
So our value system is like what we use to make decisions. What do we value? So like for a lot of people who might identify as a Christian, like their value system might be placed in the Bible or what their faith beliefs are. Other people might just have a different value system, but that's where our boundaries are really formed is in what we value and what we think are important. And so as we grow as people, a lot of times our value systems are also growing. Mm-hmm. You know, things we usually start out really rigid and then we learn, oh, wait, we don't have to, that has, you know, more meanings than that, or we can do that in a different way and it's still okay. And so then our boundaries can flex with our, as we grow. So they are not, you know, made to kind of keep us back or hold us in or cement us in the floor. We're not the drill sergeant. Boundaries doesn't turn us into these rigid people.
Exactly. And they are for us, not putting boundaries on other people.
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep making that point because it needs to be made.
My boundaries are only about me.
There you go. Law number five, the law of motivation. What is that, Dr.
Angel?
Oh,
this is a big one. I think a lot of these we see in the counseling room, which is why we've put so much time to this. But this is the freedom first, service second. So what motivates us to do for other people? Okay. Are we giving out of our abundance? Are we doing things for people out of the overflow of our hearts?
Okay.
Or, which is how we want to, by the way, or do we do things for people or have love and service for people and we feel depressed or sad?
Right.
Do we feel like we're going to lose their love or they won't want us in their life or they'll be angry with us or we'll be lonely or we'll be the bad guy?
Okay, so a lot of times we find ourselves doing things to cause other people to react the way we want them to react. Is that what I'm hearing
yes,
you say?
Yes, and that's not healthy.
In other words, it's a form of control.
Yes, and it's not healthy.
It's a form of getting somebody to do what you want to do, mm-hmm. right? And that song about being brave,
mm-hmm.
go ahead. The words, you probably know them, but let your words say what you want to say.
Yeah.
Right?
I want to see you be brave. Like, that song is about using your words.
Right. Which is
for
what
yourself.
Parents tell their kids these days, use your words as they're learning to talk. Like, it's so important. So, freedom, this whole thing, it has to come from the overflow of our hearts. The problem where it breaks down, in my opinion, Dr. Angel, mm-hmm. is that a lot of people have not really been working on their heart.
Oh, no, no.
They've worked on their habits, mm-hmm. maybe, and they've developed a habit to study more or to do this or do that. But where does that motivation come from? That's what I hear you saying.
Right.
It has to come from our heart. Jesus yes. talks about this a lot in the Bible. You know, out of your heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
Right?
Correct.
Where your treasure is, there your heart is. Right?
Absolutely.
Right? In other words, what is it do you treasure? Do you treasure controlling others, or do you treasure always getting your own way, or do you treasure making somebody do something and then you go, I made her do it, you know, because she felt guilty?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you coming from? Talk about that.
Well, and that's the whole law of motivation. So we should want people to do things for us out right. of pure love and devotion, out of their abundance. And we should be doing the same thing for others out of our abundance,
exactly.
for love, not for any other motive. But what I find is these other motives is really what people do. The majority of what they do for others is why.
Oh, gosh, I think so. The older I get, the more I see this in mm-hmm. life, that people really are motivated a lot of times about how this, if I can twist your arm, make it do this, that'll make this happen for me, right?
Or I might just do this. Maybe they do everything this one person in their life needs because they want their approval.
Right.
That is not a healthy boundary,
right.
that motivation. And so it's not just about the behaviors. Boundaries are much deeper than that. What's under those behaviors? Why are you doing what you're doing?
So for the listener out there that goes, how do I know what's motivating me? What would you say? How did they discover that, doctor?
If you didn't do it, well, would that be okay? Because when you do something out of the extra, if you don't do something extra, then it should be perfectly fine. And if you feel like, oh, my gosh, if I didn't do XYZ, then, oh, my gosh, my mother would have a fit on me, or my husband or wife would be angry, or they won't talk to me for 5 days. Okay, now we know some motivation behind behavior.
Okay, so you just said it needs to come from the overflow mm-hmm. of our hearts. Explain that.
So often what we give to other people, we give to them because we have a need. We have a hole. We have a lack.
So it's filling our need.
Right. So I'm going to give to you because then I'm hoping you're going to fill my hole for me and my
and
need.
And make me feel happy about myself,
which
right?
is why so many romantic relationships start up in the United States. It's all about you filling my need instead of me giving you my extra. And then we wonder why 2 or 3 or 4 years down the road, when that need changes, those relationships
right.
crumble because they weren't built healthy. They were built unhealthy.
Right. Exactly. So it's got to be from the overflow.
From the overflow, if you want it healthy. And if something's an overflow, if I do not do it, it should be completely okay.
Okay, so for the listener who goes, all right, how do I change that? Maybe that's what I've been doing. Maybe I've been even subconsciously trying to control other people.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you're going to have to start catching. Who is it that you're doing it? Do you do this everyone? Is it just certain people? And look at yourself and start catching yourself. You're going to have to make it a point to try and stop that behavior.
Exactly. Okay, let's go to number 6.
Number 6 is the law of evaluation. Evaluate the effects of setting boundaries and being responsible to the other person. It doesn't mean we do not set boundaries because they'll be hurt or angry. We're evaluating it, and we're being gentle with our boundaries. They are not, remember I said, they're not made for us to be this drill sergeant. That is against my boundary. Like, we shouldn't ever have to say the word.
Oh, yeah, you should never even have to say the word boundary, right?
Yes.
Why? You should just live it.
Right, we're living
it.
Not
say it and not command it.
And sometimes as we're setting boundaries, some people might feel hurt or disappointed or because they don't understand it. But it doesn't harm them, and we can talk about it.
Okay, let's go back to the gory movie mm-hmm. example, all right? I've had people in years past say, oh, I just love those gory, bloody, kill them, slice them type movies, okay? And I have in past years had somebody invite me to something like that. Oh, let's go see. And oh, no, I don't see that. I don't
right.
do that. That to me, I have a boundary there. I don't let that stuff get in. I don't want to wake up in the night and in my mind, I'm seeing somebody being slaughtered. I don't want to do that. That's my boundary.
Right.
Right?
But you don't have to go, well, my boundary is this and I will not cross that line. When you're interacting with that person, you can just say, thank you for the invitation. That's not the kind of movie I want to see, and move on.
Right.
So the way we share our boundaries really reflects a lot of times how people take them too.
It's our tone, it's our attitude, it's the way. You don't want to come across as holier than thou.
Not at all, because no one is.
How about, like, with that example of murderous type movies, you know, I've just found that for me, I don't do good seeing things like that. I have bad dreams and stuff, so I can't go there.
Absolutely, and that's as doing it in a relational way.
Okay.
I'm not trying to...
That would be okay? Yeah. Are you saying that would be a good
response?
I'm not
trying to, you know, throw the dagger at you. Oh, I'm better, or I'm that holy...
The dagger?
That's really what some people... They use it as a weapon, almost.
It's like, yeah.
And that is not how we want to present ourselves.
Right.
We want to be able to put that boundary. We want to set a boundary, but we usually do not want to use the word boundary while we're doing it.
Right.
And we want to be, you know, explain it, be relational in it, you know, be gentle with it. Especially,
but don't be saying, all right, I'm on this new kick about boundary setting, so this is a boundary for me tonight. I am not going to, because then they're going to like,
what the heck is wrong with you?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
And that is not how we interact with people. We shouldn't be interacting like that. That's not healthy. And
okay.
So we want to evaluate, you know, how we're doing our boundaries and be careful that we aren't hurting people's feelings in the presentation of our boundaries.
Yeah.
Now, their feelings might get hurt with us sticking to our boundaries, and we can talk about that.
But don't you think, I'm sorry, I'm struggling here with my throat tonight. Don't you think it is in how we present
Absolutely.
That, the tone, the attitude, whether it's critical, whether it's like condemning, oh, I can't believe you'd go do that. It should be, okay, if that's your thing, fine, but not in a critical, put them down type.
Exactly.
Attitude, right?
You know, like an example I had made plans with a friend. We were supposed to get together for breakfast on a Saturday morning, and I reached out to her that Saturday morning because she was supposed to come at 9 and we were going to go to breakfast, and she didn't answer her phone. And so I started cleaning my house and just going on with my day, and finally get a text from her 3 in the afternoon, hey, I'm on my way over. And I had to say, I'm sorry, but I've already made other plans, but can we reschedule? Instead of going, well, yeah, or, you know, how many hours late? You know, I could have, like, flipped on that, but I just said,
3 in the afternoon.
We'll plan for another time. Evidently, you have a lot going on today. And
right.
Just moved on.
But that's being gentle and
yes.
kind, right?
Yes.
And you can apply boundaries in your life. This is what I'm hearing you saying, Dr. Angel. You can apply boundaries. You can live with boundaries and not be a mean, rude person, right?
Not at all. Right.
And not put people in their place. Well, this is my boundary.
Yeah, we should never be trying to come across that way, first of all, because you're right, it puts somebody at a level higher than the other. We're all fallible people who are trying to figure out this thing called life together.
Speak for yourself. No, I'm teasing.
No one's better, no one's worse. We don't want to be critical or judgmental.
Right.
We want to talk about it because maybe it'll help that person grow in their own boundaries.
Sure.
Wow, that was really cool, because when I say that to someone, they like flip out on me. I want to learn how to, you know, to be able to do that. And a lot of times.
Sometimes they ask you, what does that mean?
Right.
You know. Yeah.
You do that.
Well, how could you do that and tell me no? Aren't you afraid that I won't be your friend or whatever?
I've heard all kinds of stuff through the years, and it gave great conversation. So the law of evaluation is really important. As with our law 7, the law of proactivity, and this is, we kind of touched on this, but this is about being proactive. We need to be proactive about getting our needs met. How we show love, what we communicate, we need to be proactive.
Well, you mentioned earlier, sometimes we expect and we think everybody can know our thoughts and read our minds and expect. And that's not the case. This law really applies very well in a marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you are expecting your spouse to always understand what you're thinking right then and what you need to him or her to say in that event or
yeah,
whatever.
A lot of families really struggle with this because I've heard a lot of parents, well, they should have just known that dishes were in the sink and I needed help today, that I was sick today and I needed help. Proactivity means I am going to be proactive about getting my needs met. So
right.
I am going to say what they are
sure.
very clearly so others understand what I need.
Right.
We can't play the guessing game, read my mind game, give the little hints game, get silent. That's a big one. People
all
of a sudden go silent.
Right.
You know, adults need to be proactive.
Absolutely.
And this is something that a lot of people really struggle with.
Why is that?
I think people are afraid to ask for what they need, because if someone doesn't give it to them, then there's that letdown and that disappointment.
Hmm. Is it a pride thing too? They should Yes. They should know what I need. They should know that I.
Well, if they really love me, they would just know. Or if they really care.
Exactly. They obviously don't care what I'm thinking or feeling, right?
But that is not the measure. Reading your emotional state that changes all the time is not a measure of someone's care.
Right.
You know, a measure of someone's care is, are they willing to, you know, help meet my need? If they can help meet my need. Sometimes we have a need from somebody and they can't meet
do
it.
Right. And it's okay in boundary setting. Remember, boundary setting is applying to you, not right. to the other person.
Absolutely.
So it's okay for you to say, I just can't do that today. I'm totally busy, or I've got this going or that going or whatever.
Whatever's going on. And, you know, and that sometimes we might have to get our need met in a different way or from a different person. And, you know, and that's okay. One person is not made to fulfill all of our needs.
That's right.
At least not one human person.
Right.
You know, and that's why we want relationships and we want support systems.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, sometimes we have a need, you're right, and our go-to person is really busy and they have their own stuff going on and they can't be there for us. We need to have a couple go-to people.
Right. Exactly. All right, let's go to number 8. What is it?
The law of envy. Whew, this is a big one.
Okay.
So a lot of times we spend so much time here. Envy is when we are looking out and wanting everything everyone else has, but we aren't doing our responsibilities for our life. So we look out at the neighbors with their big boat, and we're envious. Or the, you know, our friend that we went to college with that just got the big job promotion, we're really envious. So we are, you know, talking bad about them usually when we're jealous, right? We get angry and we talk bad and smack or whatever you want to call it. And we neglect our own life. So we're not even taking care of our business, which sets us further back and makes that gap look bigger. It's this merry-go-round cycle when we have envy.
So the law of envy has everything to do with not taking care of your own yard.
Exactly.
Okay. So you look at the neighbor across the street and they're mowing and they're trimming their bushes and it looks so nice and they're planting new things. And
they have green grass.
They have green grass because they water it and all that. And they are out there and they take care of it, but you never touch your yard. And
you're mad that theirs looks so good.
And you're mad that theirs looks so good.
That people do this all the time. They spend so much time on social media.
Yes.
Looking at everyone's great stuff. They wasted 3 or 4 hours that they could have been taking care of something that they needed to get done and whining about how bad and sad their life is.
Don't you think that, the root of this is envy, it's jealousy, but it does cause inactivity in a lot of people. It almost stifles them completely.
Yes.
Because they're looking at what somebody else has, or a new outfit, or a new car, or a new house, or whatever, and they're thinking, why can't I have that? And they brood. Sometimes they get off into depression. They,
oh,
you know,
yes.
They get off feeling sorry for themselves, and they're a victim, and how come she has that and I don't have that, and on, right?
And then we go back to that whole law of sowing and reaping, because now they're sowing negative thoughts, you know, all this stuff, and they're going to reap more negative stuff happening to them. And so then it just makes that them look, you know, their life get in a different, worse position, and that envy gets bigger
that's
and bigger.
That's good to bring that sowing and reaping thing back in,
it goes
because
right
that's
into that.
Where it goes to, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. So a lot of these laws are interconnected. And so they're not, you know, just these, you know, straightforward, right. This law only affects this law. They are very interconnected. And so we've got to stop looking at what other people have and envying it.
Right.
We can look at what people have and let it motivate us.
Right.
You know, when I went to a meeting of like 56 business owners.
Right.
And instead of saying, oh my gosh, these people are way more successful and blah, 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 I let it motivate me. Oh my gosh, there are 56 people who took that risk and look how they're doing. I can do that.
Yes.
Right.
You can. Yes,
it's how
you
we
can.
Look at that.
It's how we look at life in general. And when we have eyes that are looking out at somebody else and being critical and judgmental of them or jealous or envious, we're not looking at our own yard.
Exactly. And we have got to take care of our yard. If we let the weeds grow quick in there, hard
yes.
to rip out.
Yeah.
Trust me, I took out 10 bags of weeds from the yard a few weeks ago, and it was a lot of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, they get deep. They start getting roots.
Yes. Well, that's bitterness, resentment, there jealousy, envy, all that. Those are the weeds in our lives. Yes. Yep. The law of activity.
So boundaries can only be created by our active and purposeful creating them. So they don't happen on accident.
Okay.
So the law of...
You cannot order them on Amazon?
No, they're not.
Boundaries? Mm. There is not that...
Not coming on Amazon, even in two-day shipping.
Okay.
But it goes with the law of proactivity. So I have to be proactive of getting my needs met, but I have to be active and purposeful of setting my boundaries and creating my boundaries and tweaking them until they're working.
What I hear you saying is this requires sitting down and beginning to do some self-evaluation.
Absolutely.
Okay. This, I'm tired of this thing happening to me all the time, whatever that is, whatever. How can I change this? How can I become more proactive in my life? How can I change some of my habits of being lethargic or lazy or complacent? And how can I succeed more, you know?
Exactly. You know, I mean, I remember when I sat down the first time to make boundaries, like, I sat and literally made a list in a counseling session with my counselor of what kind of conversations I should let myself engage in. So when people are using negative words at me, I need to learn to end that conversation. Because I would struggle feeling like people were talking down at me, and then I would feel bad, and I took it. And then I learned I didn't have to sit there in it. So then I learned to use my words. Well, if you're, you know, going to keep talking like this, I'm going to end this conversation, and we can revisit it later.
Exactly.
And that was my first boundary, was a conversation.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Wow, that's good.
But we just start with one.
But you just start, and then you begin to realize, okay, it's not okay for you to talk to me like that,
right.
Let's say. It's not okay for you to put me down, screaming, and holler at me, or whatever the case may be.
So but I can't control. They might still continue. But
no.
I don't have to stay in it.
You don't have to stay in it. Because we're not putting a boundary around them.
It's about me.
It's about me.
So I would politely excuse myself from those conversations.
Right.
And then I started learning to expand more and more boundaries. And, you know.
Isn't it hard in general, Dr. Angel, for us to let somebody's problem be their problem instead of us taking it on?
Yes, we take ownership. And that's where boundaries come in. We
that's
know
right.
what's ours and what's not ours. We take ownership.
That's something I think I've worked on a lot in the last few years, is to let somebody else's, including my children and my grandchildren, let their issues be their issues. Pray for them, mm-hmm. be there for them, but not try to solve it for them.
Exactly. I can encourage you, I can help you bounce ideas, but it is not my responsibility to intervene in the sowing and the reaping, you know? And that's what happens a lot. And our last and final law, and look at this, we're right on time too,
I know.
Is the law of exposure. This law just means we have to make our boundaries visible. Just like our what we need, we can't have people read our mind. People aren't going to know we have a boundary unless we communicate it, and we need to be clear about it. But we don't have to be that harsh brash about communicating our boundaries.
Okay, so let's take it back to real estate, since I'm a realtor.
Yep.
So before we have a closing, unless somebody pays cash, they almost always have a survey done.
Yes.
The lender requires it. And so we go to the property for the final walkthrough, and there's little orange flags at all the boundary places. So my new buyer says, oh, I can put a fence. Yeah, it's got to go right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nice to know where your boundaries are, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, and you don't have to mow over there. Oh, I don't have to mow over there? No, that's not your yard. You just mow over here, right?
Absolutely.
Can't we just apply that to this? It's clear. And we do that with setting boundaries in a house or a property. We need to be doing that in our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
The law of exposure. Explain that, Dr. Angel.
So the law is making that means we're making our boundaries visible.
Okay.
And we're communicating our boundaries in a way that's respectful and clear. So some people really struggle because they struggle with consistency.
Yes.
So one day this might be my boundary, but 2 days later I let it go, and people get confused. And we can't do that. We need to be able to stay at least at some level of consistency with our boundaries. So we need to start with
Amen.
One thing and practice it until we get it where we're very consistent with it.
So your first boundary that you remember was
setting boundary limits on conversations I had with other people, because I used to let people talk down to me and take it. And then I learned I didn't have to do that. I would feel terrible. I'd come out and I'd feel like I was the world's worst person. I couldn't do anything good. And I felt really miserable. then I learned that I didn't have to let people talk to me like that.
And so you physically removed yourself mm-hmm. from the situation. Mm-hmm. So if you're going to continue to talk like that, I'm going to...
And actually, when we made the boundary, it was the words that I will not accept people to say.
Oh, really?
I mean, it was that detailed for me because I had no idea what a boundary was. So, you know, I've come a long way in the last 20-something years of making boundaries. I was a little 19-year-old girl back then.
Yeah.
Fresh into adulthood. But I've come a long way in the last 24 years of boundaries. But I had zero. I didn't come from a family of boundaries. So I had zero when I walked into this. So anybody can do this.
Give them hope. Go ahead.
Yes, that's the hope. Anybody can do this. Start small.
Yeah.
And if you need to make that list of whatever that helps you with specifics, make that list. But I'll tell you what, it made me a better parent. It made me a better person.
How did it make you a better parent?
Well, I was able to parent my children with healthy boundaries. My kids are very healthy, established. Two of them are adults. But they're very healthy people.
They're wonderful young men, all three of them.
Absolutely. But that did not come from, you know, being purposeful and intentful with how we did things, and boundaries was a very important part of that.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Sum it up. You got about 2 minutes.
Well, I'm summing up the boundaries. A whole 5-week series is.
Yeah, to what?
Boundaries is so important for us. If we are not living in healthy boundaries, you are living in unhealthy boundaries. There isn't an in-between in this. And so if you are not living, your life is not go yard, start here. Because this is the foundation to
keep
help.
Keep listening to these podcasts over
It'll
and over
trickle
again.
Yeah. Into every piece of your life, from your personal to your relational to your professional. It becomes who you are.
Yeah.
People know I say what I mean and I mean what I say. And they can trust that
because they've
seen that with consistency.
Right.
Now, when I say I'm going to be there, unless I'm in the hospital, I'm there.
Right.
And because that was a boundary for me. And that say what you mean what you say was a big first word boundary for me to learn. And so
I love that.
And that, you know, it just, people learn what they can expect from you, and it just makes your life so much easier. You avoid so much conflict.
And you, when you get into a relationship situation and you're being abused,
mm-hmm.
we've done a lot of series on that. You're being abused. That's a good time to start learning your boundaries.
Because if you don't.
I'm going to the police. Sorry,
you are going to end up in another relationship like that.
Just like that.
Get healthy, and the boundaries is a perfect place to start. And if you need more help, you can get professional help. There's boundary series Townsend and Cloud did. Great. They have a whole series from parenting to personal to conversational. Get those books. They're really super cheap, like on Amazon, like $10-$12, and they're really good, helpful books to keep walking you through the boundaries.
That's fantastic. And we want to say again, you are in the middle of launching your private practice and your classroom teaching of other counselors
mm-hmm.
for the state of Florida, which is very exciting. There's a lot of stuff you've got going in the works, and you'll be launching here in just a few weeks. And call Dr. Angel, 727-501-6557 for an appointment if you need counseling. And you're working on taking insurance, too.
Yes,
I am. So that's good news also. Anything you'd like to say to sum up?
I'm Dr. Angel.
Oh, that's who you are. And I'm Mama Mac. And we're going to see you next week for Go Yard. And we're starting a new series. So join us then. God bless you. Have a great week.
Good night.
WTAN Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.